there is negotiations act. This is not rumor. I've seen some places report on this as rumor. This is not rumor. This is confirmed as being legitimate. There is negotiations. Will the negotiations come through and it will actually happen? Who knows? But there are negotiations between... Hello again, nerds. I, of course, am generally nerdy, and this is your favorite source for all of the pop culture nerdy news headlines. In today's episode, we are talking about some wildness going on over in the Letterkenny camp. If you do not like Letterkenny, then maybe you should give it another try, but we're going to get to that. We also have so many Star Wars rumors, I don't know what to do with them. So let's just dive headfirst into this episode. We have no major housekeeping that needs to be taken care of, but we do have some shout-outs to get out of the way. So let's dive into those. We're going to start with the Facebook shout-outs. We have brothers Pritam and Ashish Kumar. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow over on the Facebook. Facebook, there is actually three different pages that you can follow for your shout-out: at Generally Nerdy, Generally Nerdy Gaming, or Generally Nerdy Photography. Those are the three pages that I operate on the Facebooks. And yeah, follow any of them to get yourself a shout-out right here. Then we're going to talk Instagram shout-outs. We have a couple here. I'm so sorry I'm going to mispronounce some of these names because, I mean, they're screen names, so whatever. Aki underscore M underscore underscore Ben the Killer 657 YT. I believe you actually follow on the YouTube as well, so thank you very much, nerd, for the follow. Art.Newkirk and March Arn Tinho. Yeah, sure. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow. Instagram, of course, is at Generally Nerdy for your Instagram shout out. YouTube is actually going to be a little bit more viewer response stuff. So let's get to the TikTok first. So TikTok, we have the Fat Rat 246. Pixie underscore and Manly 25. Thank you very much, nerds, for the follow. So now let's talk about YouTube. Of all of the people that followed in the last week, none of them had their settings set to public, so I can't see their names, unfortunately. But we did get some comments. So the comments is another way to get into this section. I will continue the conversation from the comments section here in the show. So on the YouTube, on the main channel, we have Daniel Skinner commenting on the Orville Peck video. There's going to be a lot of these, so I think I'm just going to I'm going to address this directly include all of the Orville Peck comments in the one response. So Daniel Skinner, Thorne McDaniel, we'll get to Nocturnal Emissions, and then Janet Gibbons. Thank you very much for the interactions, nerds. So Orville Peck, I've been doing music for quite some time. As stated in the intro into the reaction videos, I've been doing this for almost 20 years. It'll be 20 years very, very shortly. And have been producing for not quite that long, but still, that was my focus when I went to school, was audio production. So I know a lot of the tricks of the trade. I've produced bands, I've produced myself, I've produced hip hop. It is a thing that I do. And so I have a little bit of a unique ear in that I've trained it to hear certain things. Granted, I don't have the best ear when it comes to notes, but that's what a piano or a guitar is for. I do, though, know studio tricks. I know when effects have been applied, and while pitch correction isn't exactly an effect, it is a studio trick that is often applied kind of broadly, especially when it comes to more pop-oriented music. Orville Peck, while not... I would say he kind of is this interesting line between pop and country. He is not immune to the studio trickery. And actually, it's very possible that the pitch correction that I noted in that Orville Peck video was on purpose. It wasn't. It could theoretically be a stylistic thing because, as I said a number of times, that new the new Bronco record is more rock and roll. It's a little bit of a different take. So maybe that was a style choice. Maybe they did that on purpose because Orville has an amazing voice. I love the man's voice. I commented in the video before we got to the auto-tune part, or the pitch corrector part, rather. Sorry, I don't mean to interchange those two terms because they are not interchangeable. But before we got to the pitch correction, I commented on how amazing his voice is. His voice is beautiful. I love it. I think it's one of the most original, fresh voices that we have in modern popular music, or country music for that matter. So I'm not being critical when I point out that there is a pitch corrected section in that song. I'm simply pointing out that it is unnecessary. And whether or not you hear it, I don't really care because I hear it. It's there. There is no humanly way that you can jump from those two notes without sliding in that manner in that section. There's just not enough space between the notes. He's not. It's the likelihood of it not being a pitch correction thing. And honestly, at this point, after listening to it a few more times, the likelihood of it not being on purpose is very, very slim. So that we're just going to say that. Then, like I said, we have another comment to get to, and that also dealing with the Orville Peck, so we're going to stay here. But this one is a little bit different because, you know, things. So Nocturnal Emissions, a YouTube user named Nocturnal Emissions, I like what you did there, made a comment about me being critical of the flamboyance of Orville Peck. So first off, I wasn't being critical of the flamboyance. I was just laying out an expectation. If I was watching an 80s hair metal video or a band trying to replicate 80s hair metal, I would have used the same word. So the word in the way you're trying to implicate is not that implication. To kind of beat around the point you were obviously trying to make about me. I think that is a kind of stock and trade for Orville Peck videos, is he does these very loud, very colorful, very flashy, which to some would come across as flamboyant. That is why I used that word. Yes, I would like to watch sometimes videos that are not that, because I am a metalhead, and not a lot of like modern metal is exactly flashy or flamboyant, to use the word continually, when it comes to video production. There is a high production level, but flamboyance is not exactly a descriptor when it comes to my general preferred genre. So that is the address there. And then I didn't write down, or I didn't print out the comment, so I'm not looking at it, but I printed out a rough idea of what you said. I now that I've changed formats and I'm trying to streamline my process, I cut all of those out of a live stream. So yes, I have issues in live streams. I'm still working out all of the kinks when it comes to live streams, but part of the reason I do live streams is because it's less editing in post. So I apologize that there was some minutes in there, or a minute or two, I guess, of me trying to work out a bug. But I'm not gonna edit that out because that kind of defeats the purpose of the feel of the way I like to do those videos now. So sorry, not sorry, I guess. But that is what we've got on that comment. Next, we're moving into Lorna Shore. This one, another reaction video, somebody calling me a metal snob because I was critical of Lorna Shore. I like Lorna Shore. I said Lorna Shore. So the username Angie Bordakova, I think, a Russian bot, maybe? No, if you're a real person, I apologize for the joke, but if you're a Russian bot, then I don't. Yeah, I like Lorna Shore. Just because I'm critical of a band or an artist or something in a reaction video doesn't mean I dislike them. Doesn't mean the song is bad. Doesn't mean anything like that. It's just what I see a room to improve. So maybe using actual drums and not drum samples or drum replacement, I guess is the more appropriate term. Maybe not quantizing. This is a big rift in the metal community. This is something that a lot of metal producers are like, yeah, let's do it, quantize, get it on that grid, and then let's replace all those drums so that every one of them sounds exactly the same. A lot of metal producers like that sound. A lot of metal listeners like that sound. But then the other half of the community is vehemently opposed to that sound. And that was kind of the conversation I was trying to start. So calling me a snob because I noticed that they did a drum replacement and then didn't like it is not necessarily fair, because I love Lorna Shore. I think in spite of that one little issue I have with them, they are incredible musicians. And the new vocalist is a pretty damn good vocalist. So like, I don't understand how that makes me a snob. That just doesn't, whatever. All right, so moving on. Now I believe we're moving over to, the Clips channel now, and we have a new follower. This person did leave their stuff on public, and it's Ariana Poirier, I think. thank you very much, Nerd, for the follow. We do have a couple of comments, or a singular comment, actually, over on the Clips channel. It has to do with the casting of the Interview of the Vampire series over on Paramount Plus. Sean C. Turner Comedy Wibble animated sketch show theorizes that with the casting of Claudia, the actress who they have cast to play Claudia is in her 20s, supposed to be playing a 5-year-old. He's theorizing that maybe they're going to use CGI to de-age her. Well, there's a couple of issues with that argument, my friend. So first off, pretty sure it's almost impossible to make somebody in their 20s look like they're 5. Just putting that one out there. But the other half of that is, if such technology did exist, if that was a capability of de-aging CGI, would Paramount Plus really A, have the budget for it, or B, want to spend that kind of money? I think the more logical answer here is that they're just going to roll with Claudia being older and changing the core dynamic of our three main characters. We already know this because of the person that they cast to play Louis is black. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think the dude that they cast to play Louis is a fantastic actor, and I'm really interested to see where they go with that. However, it is not going to be the same story that we got from the books. That's not a bad thing. That the books still exist. The movie still exists. I can always go back to those if I want that story. So I'm interested to see if this is a valid addition to that conversation, or if this was a needless change to check off some social political boxes. That is our YouTube section, and that is our shout-outs for, viewer comments, all of the things. Now we're going to get into TV streaming. So first we're doing follow-ups. This first follow-up, or correction, no, follow-up. Follow-up. First follow-up that we have is one that honestly was supposed to go in last week's episode, but I skipped it in the notes because sometimes that still happens, apparently. Twisted Metal, the TV series that we have been keeping tabs on that's going to star Anthony Mackie, is now going to Peacock and not Showtime. So very interesting. Our next follow-up has to do with God of War. There is negotiations. This is not rumor. I've seen some places report on this as rumor. This is not rumor. This is confirmed as being legitimate. There is negotiations. Will the negotiations come through and it will actually happen? Who knows? But there are negotiations between Sony and Amazon Prime for a live-action God of War series to go onto Amazon Prime. So that's pretty huge. It will be joining Mass Effect and Fallout over on Amazon Prime. So Gotham PD is our next follow-up. Gotham PD is kind of, sort of, no more. Matt Reeves has recently done an interview where he's talking about how Gotham PD actually has kind of morphed into something else, and now it is going to be called Arkham Asylum. Which is interesting because that also is a comic book. So are they going to dip a little bit into the territory, the psychological territory of the comic book? Are they just going to do something that feeds more into the Matt Reeves Batman universe? We don't know exactly yet because he was still pretty vague on details, but that is where Gotham PD sits. It is no more. And then we have a little bit of a follow-up on the Bel-Air series, which I still am riding the fence on. We have a little bit of a cast reunion. We have the original Aunt Viv and Will's mom from the original series are going to be making cameo appearances in the next episode of Bel-Air. It's going to be airing on March 24th. The name of the actresses, before I forget, is Daphne Maxwell-Reed and Vernay Watson-Johnson. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled if you're watching the Bel-Air series for a little bit of a cast reunion thing. Not really reunion, but cameo. Now, but that is what we have for follow-ups and corrections. So now let's get into trailers. We did get one new trailer that has me super hype, and that is Shorzy is coming to Hulu and what is the Crave is the Canadian. So Shorzy is getting a spin-off series from Letterkenny. And if you know anything about Letterkenny, that's just going to be that much more ridiculous. We do finally see Shorzy's face in this trailer, it would seem. So the old gag of not being able to see Shorzy's face ever is going right out the window because he's going to be the star of the show. I feel like in this situation, that's probably the only way you could do that because there's no science fiction helmet to be wearing saying this is the way. So yeah, that's I'm super excited about that. Go watch the trailer. It's very, very short. It's absolutely worth a watch. But we're moving into actual news for TV streaming, and that is Letterkenny is starting us off. We got a new episode of Letterkenny. I have not yet watched it. It is International Women's Day special episode. I can only imagine what's going to be happening there, but absolutely super hype about that because anything new with Letterkenny is always good. We are still waiting for season 10. 10, 11, 10? I don't remember. I get too excited and forget numbers. Anyway, so our next piece of news has to do with The Walking Dead. We have another announcement of a Walking Dead spinoff. This one is going to be called Isle of the Dead. It's going to take place on the island of Manhattan, and our main characters are going to be Maggie and Negan. I really need to catch up on Walking Dead. I never picked up the second half of the last season. I'm so far behind. Anyway, yeah, I don't understand exactly how that's going to happen, but Lauren Cohen and Jeffrey Dean Morgan both have signed on to come to this show. That's huge. It is going to be on AMC and AMC Plus in 2023 is the goal. So that is everything for the news on TV streaming. Let's get into TV streaming suggestions. And it's one suggestion, but it's a big suggestion. And that is Letterkenny. If you have not watched these, I believe there is actually 10 seasons of Letterkenny now. It might be 9, but I think it's 10. If you have not watched these seasons, every episode is super short. The seasons are relatively short in and of themselves, especially the most recent season. It's only 6 episodes, 20 minutes per episode. It's an hour to watch the entire season. It's one of the funniest things on television. You absolutely must go watch it. This is like if Kevin Smith were writing It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but he grew up in very rural Canada, this is the show that he would have done. So it's absolutely worth your time. And that is what we have for TV streaming. Let's move over to movies. We have a pretty small movie section. We have a quick follow-up on The Batman, which I am going to be doing a full review for in this same recording session. So keep your eyes peeled to the main YouTube channel for that. But the follow-up for The Batman is that we have an opening weekend of $134 million domestic, which was expected, the expectation was $128 million domestic. So that's a significant amount larger. And then real quick, while we're talking about Batman, not going to do the review right now, but we are going to do a little bit of a reasonably nerdy issue. So let's put our reasonably nerdy hats on, if you will. So there's been some commotion around the periphery of the coverage for this new Batman movie. And a lot of it has to do with RK Outpost and the poor choice of words in which he used to describe the main thing he disagreed with in this Batman movie. I have a few different issues with this movie that apparently a lot of people aren't necessarily picking through yet, but that, again, not what we're talking about. So RK Outpost said something in the tune of it didn't sit well with him that all of these black people were the good people and all of the white people were the bad people. It was, again, his words were a little more muddy than that. It was less succinct. It seems that what he was trying to say is that the narrative in Hollywood right now is that white people are bad and cannot be virtuous unless you are a pre-established character like Batman. And so the fact that the only good people in this movie were people of color didn't sit well with him. It wasn't bad that the people of color were good. It was just bad that pretty much all of the white people were bad. Are we parsing this out? So I think if that's the only thing you're complaining about, A, you weren't watching the same movie I was, and B, is that really a complaint to make? Like, that's not the movie's issue, is probably the most appropriate way to parse that out. That this is a larger endemic issue of Hollywood at large. Matt Reeves' issue was not that he only made virtuous people of color. That's a non-issue. That's irrelevant to the story. Take this story on its own merits and judge it accordingly. Who cares what color the actors are? Who cares what colors the characters are? To an extent, I'm not saying that just race swap the entire cast and make Batman Asian. Wait, they're already doing that. Anyway, this is reasonably nerdy. So the reasonable thing here is that you take this movie on its own merits, because it does exist in a bubble. This is a self-contained universe. The Matt Reeves Batman universe has nothing to do with any other Batman universe. So who cares? And honestly, that I think is the most reasonable takeaway from this. There are plenty of other issues with this movie, which I will get into in the review. But as it stands right now, I don't see why RK Outpost decided he had to take issue with this in this movie. That conversation is to be had in a much grander scale that beyond any one singular movie. So yeah, I think it was dumb for him to say it. I think it's a non-point for this movie specifically. And that is what we're talking about reasonably right now in Reasonably Nerdy. So let's take those Reasonably Nerdy caps off and move right along. We're rolling into trailers. We do have one trailer from the DC League of Super Pets. Actually, I think we have two, because the Keanu Reeves is the newest one, but I think John Krasinski being revealed as the voice of Superman also happened within the last week. I just only saw the Batman announcement. So Keanu Reeves is going to be voicing Batman. John Krasinski is going to be voicing Superman. And then Kevin Hart's going to be Batman's dog. I don't remember who's going to be Superman's dog, but the movie is going to focus on the pets, and the trailer is kind of actually really freaking adorable. Absolutely go watch it. Our other trailer has to do with Brad Pitt's new movie, Bullet Train. Is Brad Pitt having a little bit of a renaissance right now? Like, he's kind of in everything recently, isn't he? He's in the new Channing Tatum movie where he's like the actualization of the character Channing Tatum portrays on the cover of those books written by, so there's that, and then there's this Bullet Train movie, and then his production company is producing Beetlejuice 2. I think we're having a Brad Pittissance, like we had a Keanu-sance not that long ago. This trailer looks like this movie is going to be fantastic. I'm a big Brad Pitt fan. I was very hesitant for a long time. I am now a big Brad Pitt fan. So if you're not, this looks like a lot of fun. Is this Brad Pitt's John Wick? Who knows? But that's what we have for trailers. Let's get into suggestions. And this one is, we're going to have a little bit of a conversation. Movies suggestion for this episode is the new Scream, Scream 5. And I'm only suggesting this. I'm not suggesting this because I think it's fantastic, because it's not. I don't think any of the Scream movies are fantastic. I just think this movie should give you all of the fuel you need to make the argument against Lego sequels. Yes, Lego sequels can be fun and can be well done sometimes, but everything does not need to be rebooted. Everything does not need a Lego sequel. Let's get some original freaking content. And the reason I'm suggesting you go watch Scream is because a couple of the characters in this movie make that argument. it's such a weird situation. I don't know. As far as Scream movies go, I would say this is probably pretty damn close to the same quality of the first Scream movie. So they definitely do Wes Craven proud here, but beyond that, you have to be a fan of those Scream movies to really appreciate this, and I really wasn't, so this is a weird suggestion for this episode, but it's worth a watch just for the meta commentary attached. Real quick, nerds, there are a lot of you that listen and watch these episodes, and you don't let me know, so I'm gonna just throw this little reminder in here real quick. Definitely hit that thumbs up button or whatever form of like on whichever platform you're watching or listening right now. Let the algorithm know that you like what's going on here. Also, throw a comment down in the comments section. Let's talk about these things because, I mean, there's a lot of viewer comments to go over, so join into the conversation and we will do that. Don't forget also to join me on Fridays for the live news, and you can join in the conversation a little bit more directly. Live news happens on youtube.com/generallynerdy Friday nights around about 7:30. And yeah, that is what we have for this. We're going to get you back to your regularly scheduled episode. So that brings us into the rumor mill. Rumor mill, we have a confirmation this episode, and that confirmation comes in the form of Booster Gold. Donald Faison was in fact playing Booster Gold on DC's Legends of Tomorrow. So there is kind of another rumor that's now being attached to this character of Booster Gold, and that is that he's going to make an appearance in The Flash next. Since he is now part of the Berlantiverse, sure, why wouldn't he? That only makes sense. All of those characters kind of make appearances in each other's shows all the time anyway. Not that Booster Gold has his own show, but you know what I'm saying. So that was pretty awesome. We did get that confirmation. Flash Season 8 will be starting, or will be finishing up soon-ish. We have no new sources, but we do have a new Doctor Strange 2 rumor. This rumor is kind of almost a new source, which is why we mentioned the new sources. But it's a variation on the rumor. So the rumors that we're talking about, generally speaking with this movie, all have to do with cameos. Who is and who isn't going to be in this movie? And which character are they going to be playing? This rumor takes that, kind of spins it up a little bit. So we already have actors for the roles of Deadpool and Kang the Conqueror. But now a new rumor says that we are going to be seeing them not in the movie proper. So Ryan Reynolds wasn't lying, if you want to believe this rumor. Ryan Reynolds said that he was not going to be in the Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but if he's in the post-credit scene, then he's not technically in the movie, he's just in the post-credit scene. So this rumor says that we're going to be seeing Kang the Conqueror and Deadpool in the post-credit scene, and then we're also going to have an illusion slash the vocal presence of Clea also in this post-credit scene for Doctor Strange 2. This one seems super likely. Because we did get such a definitive and direct answer from Ryan Reynolds, which everyone else who's played the I'm gonna lie to the media game has kind of beat around the bush at first, and then after they were hounded to a certain degree, they finally came out and did the lie full on. Whereas Ryan Reynolds came straight up with the, yeah, no, I'm not in the movie. So that kind of lends one to maybe believe this. This is a super weak source though, so I don't know how much credence that gives it. This, I think, is the most smooth way to introduce Deadpool into this universe. I don't get Kang the Conqueror. Like, why would you save him for the post-credit scene? That doesn't seem to make as much sense. And since those two are related, they kind of cancel each other out. I'm giving this one 50%. I don't have enough information to go on. So it's right in the middle because we don't know which way it's going to head. Now we have a few rumors to do with Obi-Wan. So Obi-Wan, first off, there is a rumor that we are going to be seeing a new Jedi in the Obi-Wan series. Who this new Jedi is part of the rumor mill because we don't know, but there is rumor that this Jedi has come from a very long distance to find Obi-Wan. Rumor attached to this that he is potentially going to be, or this, the Jedi rather, I don't know the gender, don't really care. This new Jedi is going to have some sort of Vader connection potentially. Also, there is rumor that this new Jedi could be, and I apologize, Darth Maul's race name, I always screw up. So Dathomirian. Dathomirian? Did I say that right, Star Wars nerds? Please let me know. There's rumor that it's going to be Dathomirian Jedi and not Dathomirian Sith. So it'll be the first time we've seen in live action a good person from Darth Maul's race. So very interesting there. Likelihood that we will see new Jedi, because we kind of have to break this down into multiple things. Likelihood that we will see new Jedi in this series is pretty high. So I don't think that one's necessarily, I think that one's just kind of a given at this point. So I'm going to put the likelihood of new Jedi 80%. Very specifically, this Jedi that potentially has ties to Darth Vader and also potentially is Dathomirian. I know I just said that wrong. I'm going to put that one lower. The Dathomirian? Dathomirian, sorry. Dathomirian, the Dathomirian rumor it is kind of been tacked on to the rest of this, so that one's the least likely. We're going to put that one at 30%. And then Darth Vader tie. There is a potential for that, but I don't know. I'm going to put that one, I'm going to split the difference on this one again and go 50% just because there's not enough room to work here. Next, we're going to be talking about another Obi-Wan. We have a few, like I said, a few Obi-Wan. Next is Palpatine, rumored to be in the show to some capacity. We already know that we are going to be getting flashbacks in the Obi-Wan series, so yeah, why wouldn't they have Palpatine in this, at least in some sort of very brief cameo situation? I'm going to put that one at about 85% because yeah, I would also not be surprised if even in present day where he's taking care of young Luke, present day Obi-Wan gets some sort of messages, some sort of force message from the disembodied voice of Palpatine because he's still supposed to be kicking around, right? So, yeah, Palpatine's going to be in this. Like, that's I feel like that's a given. Next, there's rumors to do with Ahsoka Tano in the series. Again, flashbacks only makes freaking sense. However, the question is, and some of the rumors are going so far as to say that we're going to get a younger Ahsoka Tano than we are going to get in the Ahsoka series, which theoretically means we're going to have a different actress playing the character. I think this one's a pretty safe bet too. Not quite as solid as the Palpatine thing, but we're going to put this one about 70% likely that we're going to see some sort of young Ahsoka character. And then Liam Neeson is our other rumor for Star Wars. Liam Neeson is supposed to be returning as Qui-Gon Jinn. Qui-Gon in a flashback, of course, like, again, why would you not? There, it only makes sense that he might only be in one episode. He might even just have one really brief blink and you miss it kind of cameo. But there is no reason not to believe. We're going to put this one same level that we put the last one, 70% likelihood that we're going to be seeing Liam Neeson return as Qui-Gon Jinn. That does it for this episode of Headlines, Nerds. For more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then jump over to nerdylegion.com. And see all of the podcasts we offer on the subject. Or if you want to go deeper into this nerdy news conversation, join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thank you very much, nerds, and we will see you next time.